Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with your host, executive editor of Newsbusters, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome, everyone. It's World Press Freedom Day. And here at Newsbusters, we love freedom of the press. And we love freedom to criticize the press. We will celebrate World Press Criticism Freedom Day. We know that when you criticize the press, sometimes they like to pretend that's going to get them killed. Right, Jim Acosta? But as we know, you can go on CNN or MSNBC and compare Trump to Hitler or Charles Manson, and somehow they don't think that might get Trump killed. The NPR station in Chicago, WBEZ, is celebrating World Press Freedom Day as a chance to raise money. I received an email today, since I'm on their email list. Quote, faced with so much disinformation, our community needs reliable news to push back against the noise. Access to fact-checked news is essential. Yes, they say NPR has high-quality, fact-based news that you need and deserve. NPR is fact-based? Didn't we just talk about how they had an interview with the transgender Biden bureaucrat who said there was no scientific argument against transgenderism and gender-affirming care? That's what they call fact-checked news? Whatever. But I mean, I think this is a time where don't send any money to NPR. The liberals should send money to NPR. The rest of us should get a break. Now, I enjoy reading Washington Post media reporter Eric Wemple. He's not like all the rest of them. He does seem willing to explore when the press isn't living up to its talk of independence and accountability. He has a new piece today on Friday, headlined, The New York Times Alone in Its Outrage Over Access to Biden. Yes, Wemple is even calling out his own newspaper. Wemple noted that last week, before the White House Correspondents' Dinner, the Times put out a statement complaining about Biden not granting interviews, especially to print outlets. The statement began, for anyone who understands the role of the free press in a democracy, it should be troubling that President Biden has so actively and effectively avoided questions from independent journalists during his term. The president occupies the most important office in our nation, and the press plays a vital role in providing insights into his thinking and worldview, allowing the public to assess his record and hold him to account. So they put out this statement. What happened next? Well, at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, Biden joked about the New York Times. He mocked it, and he suggested the New York Times was inferior in independence and quality to the Howard Stern Show. Yeah, that's right. Mr. Butt Bongo Fiesta is somehow a better forum for presidential interviews. He joked, and the press laughed uproariously. Listen. Now,
to all my friends in the press and Fox News, some of you complain that I don't take enough of your questions. No comment. Of course, the New York Times issued a statement blasting me for, quote, active and effectively avoiding independent journalists. Hey, if that's what it takes to get the New York Times to say I'm active and effective, I'm for it. It's okay. I have higher standards. I do interviews with strong, independent journalists who millions of people actually listen to, like Howard Stern.
Now, okay, maybe they're laughing that Howard Stern isn't anyone's idea of a journalist. And Stern proved that with his tongue bath for Biden. But the idea that Biden can safely mock that he's not granting interviews. Ha ha! At a media dinner, a correspondence dinner, underlines once again that our media elite has next to zero self-respect. They don't care if Biden campaigns from the basement. They were fine with it in 2020. Why not now? All that matters to them is that the Democrats win, not that they get their interviews. Now, I don't think, you know, we really need the New York Times to provide insights into his thinking necessarily. But obviously, they think they have important insights. You know, the real point is access and accountability. And obviously, Biden really isn't interested in that. All right, so now back to more of the Times statement they wrote. Mr. Biden has granted far fewer press conferences and sit-down interviews with independent journalists than virtually all of his predecessors. It is true that the Times has sought an on-the-record interview with Mr. Biden, as it has done with all presidents going back more than a century. If the president chooses not to sit down with the Times because he dislikes our independent coverage, that is his right, and we will continue to cover him fully and fairly either way. However, in meetings with Vice President Harris and other administration officials, the publisher of the Times focused instead on a higher principle that systematically avoiding interviews and questions from major news organizations doesn't just undermine an important norm. It also establishes a dangerous precedent that future presidents can use to avoid scrutiny and accountability. Now, you know what they're really meaning there. Future Republican presidents can say, I don't know why I have to give you an interview. Biden didn't. Times publisher Arthur Greg Sulzberger, the latest Sulzberger in charge, said the Times has repeatedly urged the White House to have the president sit down with the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, Reuters, CNN, and other major independent news organizations that millions of Americans rely on to understand their government. Now, it's not like Biden setting a dangerous precedent if Trump gets reelected. While screeching memes like Nicole Wallace are running around suggesting this correspondence dinner and her own show might be gonzo if Trump returns, the reality is Trump granted more access when he was president. Trump is currently granting more access as a candidate than Biden. And these people hate him. He's not just giving out interviews to people who love him. He's giving out interviews to hostile interviewers. As Wemple shows with some numbers from Professor Martha Joint Kumar, Trump had about three times as many press conferences at this point in his presidency than Biden, 97 to 34. It's roughly the same with interviews. Trump, 327, Biden, 118. And as we know, Biden's granting interviews to Howard Stern and Drew Barrymore and Ryan Seacrest and bowing and scraping Al Roker. Oh, please, Mr. President, tell us how great you are, Mr. President. Some of Trump's interviews are from supportive outlets as well. But yeah, Biden's granting interviews to people who nobody would consider a journalist. Al Roker, he's a weatherman. Maybe he counts, but Drew Barrymore? Wemple wanted to point out in his piece that the New York Times is standing on an island with this without supporting words from other media outlets over Biden playing hard to get. Sulzberger said to Wemple, I think this is a norm that matters, and all of our experience shows that when norms like this erode, especially a norm as uncomfortable as the discipline of answering probing questions from independent journalists, they rarely return. So that is interesting. Again, he finds the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, as well as TV outlets that have interviewed the president, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN. He asked whether they would like to make a public statement along the same lines as the New York Times. Wemple said, not a single outlet responded with an endorsement of the Times' message. Fox News, an outlet highly critical of the Biden administration, said only it has a quote-unquote standing request for an interview. Wemple suggests these big bureaucratic organizations are just risk-averse at every level. And that's certainly true at the executive level, because they all think getting an interview with Biden would bring audience. Clearly, the people at CBS wanted a Super Bowl interview, and they didn't get one. Now, in a statement provided to Wemple, the White House countered that Biden's using an all-of-the-above strategy. What? Deputy White House Press Secretary Andrew Bates issued this statement. I'm only going to read a piece of it. President Biden is taking his message to the American people through an aggressive, modern, all-of-the-above communications and digital strategy that highlights how he's fighting for families and their values through frequent backs and forths with the White House press corps, ramped-up interviews, and speeches across the country. Bates had a few specifics. He highlighted The New Yorker, ProPublica, and Fareed Zakaria GPS. These, again, are very supportive sources. The New Yorker is not the New York Times, although they're kind of close. I mean, maybe the New Yorker getting is why the New York Times is upset. Then Wemple turned to White House Correspondents Association President Kelly O'Donnell, who was welcoming the president at the correspondents' dinner. Wemple said she sent me a diplomatic statement addressing the White House's record. Quote, "The White House Correspondents Association advocates for press access every day. We raise these issues directly and repeatedly with the White House, and much of that advocacy is done quietly. We also raise these concerns in public forums such as the daily press briefings. We believe there is a strong public interest in regular press conferences and a variety of media interviews where the president can communicate his views and respond to specific questions of importance to the American people." So I turn to our master of the White House briefing, Curtis Houck. Are they bringing this up at the press briefing? More press conferences, Mr. President? And he said, yes, on occasion, Kelly O or some other reporter will fuss about having a two and two. That's the White House press conference when you have a foreign leader in the building. Generally, they take two questions from American press and two questions from reporters from the country of whoever the head of state is from. And sometimes, you know, Jean-Pierre would be like, well, the other head of state didn't want to do it. And then they're like, well, the other head of state went out the front of the White House and took questions in the parking lot. You know, it's like, oops. I mean, it's not the parking lot. What do they call it? The sticks? Like the, it's the kind of feels like the driveway right in front of the north of the White House. But so there's a little bit of advocating for access. But the reality is nobody's going to go on air and say the president declined to comment today. The president declined our request for an interview. And they're certainly not going to have more negative coverage of Biden because he's not granting them an interview. Whether that's a fair tactic or not, you just have no concept that Biden isn't submitting himself to interviews. It's not something that Lester Holt is going to talk about, or David Muir. So that's where we are. Instead, the president can do like a, you know, come out, give 4 minutes of remarks, and there's the New York Times puffing it on the front page today, Friday. Headline, Biden denounces campus violence, breaking silence. Underneath that, backs lawful dissent. President rejects chaos over war in Gaza as arrests increase. So, I mean, you know, he can come out for 4 minutes and it goes right on the front page of the New York Times. Same thing at the Washington Post, same spot. Top of the newspaper, page one. Over on the right-hand side, Washington Post headline, Biden calls for peace on campus. Then in caps, violent protest is not protected, quote unquote. Most extensive remarks yet on college unrest. For some reason, the Washington Post needed 4 reporters to cover this story. I just got a kick out of this particular part on the front page. The unscheduled remarks were Biden's most comprehensive yet on the 2 weeks of contagious pro-Palestinian demonstrations disrupting college life in many parts of the country. Watch out, you've caught the Hamas virus. you know, just to wrap, this is what we're seeing, is they really present these protests as organic, which they're not. Spreading, yes, I guess they're spreading. But, you know, I dislike, again, this whole notion that we're up to 2,000 arrests of protesters, which suggests that police are arresting people for speaking. They're not somehow arresting people for occupying a building or occupying private property of a university. You don't get to just pitch a tent in somebody's yard and say freedom of speech. This is where I would simply say, let's go to one of these networks. We'll all pitch our tents in their parking lot or in their office. We'll have a sit-in. We'll wonder how long will it take till they get security officers to drag us out. Because we don't belong there. It's not merely protest. It's something different than protest. But that's the way the news media suggests that somehow they're courageous. These people are laying it out on the line. Well, that's because they support the message of these protests. We will say this one thing, and that is we've all noticed they do seem to worry out loud that this kind of protest is going to be trouble for Biden down the line. They have routinely worried about the convention in Chicago being some sort of repeat of 1968 with chaos in the streets, which certainly is a plausible thing. And obviously it does suggest it could help Trump the way it helped Richard Nixon in 1968. So they are worried a little bit about that, but they don't really want to come out against protesters, especially protesters to their left. Because remember, the news media is really, really bad at condemning anybody to the left of the media. And that's why a bunch of these news outlets have people they call extremism correspondents, and pretty much all they do is report on Trumpers and evangelical Christians, maybe some Latin mass Catholics, but just the whole, maybe some libertarians, vaccine haters. But, you know, it's the way that they do this, they don't want to find any domestic extremism on the left. So why do you have a domestic extremism correspondent, NPR, who can't find any on the left? Because you have domestic extremists on the left in your newsroom. And we're paying for it, if you can believe that. So if you need to follow what's going on in NPR, we're wondering if the House is going to have the hearing they promised. We're looking forward to it. If you want to follow everything that's happening at NPR and the rest of the press, that's why you come to Newsbusters once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks and have a good weekend.